The Lord's favorite song, Only Believe. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious and loving Father, we ask you, Lord, to be with us tonight. We pray, Father, that your presence would not only be here among us, but would be in us. We pray, Father, that your holy life and your holy word would reflect itself through us as vessels, not only the speaker, but the hearers. And may we have a welcoming spirit as well, Lord, that would welcome your divine presence, welcome your word, and help us, O God, to reflect the love that you came down in this hour to give to your bride. This we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight, I would like to take a subject that at first might not seem to fall under the scope of twins, which we've been examining for the past few months. But I keep getting questions concerning the seals from all over the world. Some have been teaching that there is no more mercy because they do not understand the seals and the chronology of the seals. They believe, in point, that what took place in 1963 when the seals were opened is that the Lamb came down at that time to open the seals. What they have done is to look at the opening of the seals, which I would rather use the term revelation of the seven seals or the revealing of the seals, because when you use the term opening, it appears to some that what is in those seals indeed does not come to pass until they are opened, and that is not true at all. We are talking about the Bible truth that has been hidden and now revealed. The word opening, in the most simplistic definition that I can come up with, has three meanings. Number one, it is a whole or an empty space that you can go through or you can see through. Number two, the first part of something. It's the opening play, the opening inning, whatever. And number three, the first time that something happens. Now, most people see the opening of the seals as the first time that something happened, namely the seals are opened. I choose rather to see the opening of the seals as a whole that the prophet was able to pull himself up into and look through it like he illustrated to us concerning how visions come. Now, Brother Bram gave us an illustration of what it's like to have the visions working in his ministry. In two sermons in particular, if you get a chance to read these, from Jehovah Jireh, 1961, paragraph 11, beginning paragraph 11, and from Be Not Afraid, also 1960, paragraph 14. He said it's kind of like when you were a boy and wanted to see the circus and couldn't afford to get in. So you and your friends went over to the fence, and because you were the tallest, you could pull yourself up to a certain place on that fence and look through that peephole, and then your friends would say, "What do you see?" And you would look and you'd strain and then say, "Well, I see a giraffe." Now, you might have had some friends that were with you that might even be stronger than you are. But because they were shorter, they couldn't jump up high enough to reach the top of the fence to hold on to it. So they would have you to do it just because you were equipped to do it. And Brother Brown said, that's why I don't believe in the latter rain, because they believe that, you know, you kind of press yourself into these things, you know, and you pray for these things and just anybody can do these things. He said, that's not true. You're either ordained to it or you're not ordained to it. And so you would pull yourself up and hold on and look through the hole in the fence, and they would say, well, what does it look like? And so you would begin to describe it to them. But the longer you were holding yourself up there, the more tired you become. And so you would have to come down, like coming down from a vision. And then when you came down, you would tell it to them, every detail that you could think of. Now, it's much easier to tell it if you planted your feet on the ground, your own 2 feet, and you're just sitting there, and you're looking through the hole without any effort. In other words, the hole is only this high, and you're not holding yourself up. So you're just telling them play by play what you see. It's like when you turn on the radio, you hear the ball. You know, if you have a good play, what do you call those guys? The guys, huh? A commentator or the guy, the play by play action guy on the radio, and he tells you, if you got a real good one, you can almost feel like you're there. You close your eyes, you can see the players, you can do all that. Well, but if you're holding yourself up and you got to come down every so often and then tell them, then you're depending on your memory. But if you can hold on up there and keep looking while you're talking, then it becomes more clear to those who are down below. And so when you come down and then tell it, you are depending upon your memory. And so after a while, the details become a little unclear. And so they would say, well, go back up again and tell us what else you can see. And so you would jump up again and take a hold of the top of the fence and lift yourself up to peep through that hole again. And then they would say, what do you see now? And you would say, well, I see a camel or I see an elephant. And then they ask you, what do they look like? And you begin to tell them, but your arms are getting so tired. And so you come back down to earth and you tell them what you have seen. And that is how the people pull on that gift. They desire to see what you alone can see, and so you tell them. Now, that's a paraphrase of two different quotes put together of what Brother Branham is describing how the visions work. Therefore, concerning the seals and the opening of the seals, let me put it to you this way. Remember, the first definition of the word opening means a hole or empty space that you can go through or see through. Now, the seals were written way back before the foundations of the world. John had stepped into a vision, or perhaps he was translated up into the Lord's day via a vision, like going through the hole in the fence, and John saw what God had to say about how Satan would work within the confines of the church, and beginning with the doctrine of Nicolaitanism, when it was first just a doctrine, then how Satan worked that doctrine into the minds of the people until they came to the place where they accepted the doctrine in the flesh of a man, making him a pope. And then once that they had accepted that, then he began to enforce that doctrine through murdering those who did not go along with it. Now, we could say, in essence, John, through a vision, was given a portal. Because I think it's a 21st century word that we use. You know, we know a portal is something that you can... And so through the vision, it became like a portal. He could see everything taking place as if he was there. Okay? Now, what he saw, the first horse rider, was just a doctrine. It was a white horse, a white power, showing it looked like purity, virtuous. After all, it was, after all, only a doctrine in the church. But remember, it had a bow, but it had no arrows, showing it was a bluff, showing it wasn't true. All right? But then when the doctrine became incarnate in a man, it switched from a white horse to a red horse. And that is when the doctrine became forced upon the people in a forced religion, all in the name of Christ. And so what John was seeing while looking through that peephole of a vision was a history of the church and Satan's attempt to control it. And John was commanded to write what he saw. And then he was commanded to seal up what he saw until the last days. Now, I've painted a picture for you of the whole scene of the seals and the opening of those seals. Where men have gone wrong in this hour, however, is to look at certain statements that Brother Branham made and try to place a chronology on them as though those things were taking place in 1963, when it is very apparent that what John saw and wrote and William Branham looking through the same portal of time, the same hole in the wall, so to speak, was the entire scene of what took place concerning Satan's attempt to destroy the true church of the living God. Now, when we hear it on the tape and we enter into what he's saying, it's like we are given a play-by-play of what Brother Branham is watching. He's watching from the beginning to the end, and so it's a span of over 2,000 years. But people, not understanding that this is a vision, the prophet entered into a vision, God showed him each seal as it opened up, what it was, it's like an act of a play. First seal, then the curtain closes. Second seal, the curtain closes. Or it opens up for the third seal, opens up for the fourth seal, opens up for the fifth seal. You see, and he's watching through this people of a vision. And now, because we're hearing, we're also watching with him. All right? So it's not that the events took place in 1963, but the opening, looking through and watching the play as it went, 2,000 years worth of play, watching it, took place in 1963. Do you understand? Okay, now. But these men, many calling themselves ministers of Christ, but are more like ministers of confusion, they began to teach that since the seals were opened in 1963, then the Lamb must have left the mercy seat to do so in 1963. I'm going to show you tonight that he didn't do so in 1963. The Lamb did not come down in 1963 and open the seals. The seals were opened by revelation, by a vision from God. God himself came down. Now, so that's not correct. What took place in 1963 is that the prophet of God, was pulled up to the fence of time to look through the portal of the vision to see what took place since the early church and that doctrine of Nicolaitanism first began and how it spread and how Satan gained control of the church. It was like watching a movie and telling us what he saw, so in essence we could look also through the eyes of the prophet and see what he was saying. So what so many fail to see is that the seals were only a play-by-play detail of what has taken place throughout the last 2,000 years of the church history, and the scene does not stop at 1963, but actually goes right on up until the last child of God is in and child trained. And the Lamb of God comes to meet us in the air, and that is why the seventh seal was quiet, because there was nothing there to tell us of the time of the second coming when it would take place. So the prophet told us that the first four seals, how that the doctrine changed horses, or power, which are powers, and each color showed the nature of that power and how it controlled the people. Notice, however, that the fourth horse now had a name. It was called death. All right, then the fifth seal takes us up through the time of the Nazi Germany and the souls under the altar, revealing what happened to the Jews under Nazi Germany when those 100,000 times 1,000 demons were let loose on them. The sixth seal deals with the judgment of God on the church and the world for turning him down. And it's not over yet. Okay, Brother Bram said in his first sermon, Feast of the Trumpets, he said, under the sixth seal, these 200,000 spiritual demons started in Rome, Germany, Hitler. Notice over in the Bible where they received power as kings but wasn't crowned. A dictator's not a crowned king, just receives power as a king. Oh, the Spirit of God is moving through me now, you know, just saying something. I don't know how to say it, nor what to say, and maybe I'd better not. I think he's thinking about what's happening to this country. If you notice then, at the time of the sixth seal, when it began to open, is actually around 1918 when the sixth church age judgments hit. You had World War I. You had, 40 million people were killed in that war, something like that. You had, then another 40 million people died of the Spanish influenza. But 1 billion out of about 2 billion people on earth, 1 billion, that's over half the people on earth, about half the people on earth, were affected or infected with that Spanish influenza. So it was a terrible time to be living. And it was the opening of those, the six sealed judgments were beginning to hit, the sixth church age, excuse me. Now, but notice this, under the sixth seal, these 200,000 spiritual demons started in Rome, Germany, Hitler. Notice over the Bible when they received power as kings. Now notice, remember, up until World War I, it was all monarchs, no dictators. What happened after World War I? Marx and Lenin, and then Stalin. And you have all these things taking place. You have all these dictators coming in. You see? They receive power as kings. They're not kings. But they're receiving power as though they're kings. Like this guy in the White House wants to be a king. He acts like he's a king. But he's not. It's just one of those. It's some of those 200,000 spiritual demons. So we see all the dictators coming forth under the sixth seal as part of the judgments upon man. We have one in this country now, and he has completely destroyed what this nation used to be. And that's Deuteronomy 28:18, which says, the foreigner that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. And he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt be the tail. Well, not only is the president a foreigner, but we have a Federal Reserve, which is run by a bunch of foreign banks. And they're lending to us. We're not lending to them. We used to be a lending nation to the world. What's happened? Now we're the most indebted nation on earth. So to put in focus, we put in place a foreigner who is the president of this country by fraud, thus fulfilling the promised curse of Deuteronomy 28:18. And that's because it turned down the message this country did. Now the seventh seal concerns the coming of the Lord. That's when God is through dealing with the Gentiles. He takes the Gentile bride up and turns to the Jews. There's nothing written, so we don't know when that's going to be. As Brother Brown said, the reason why there's silence in heaven is because there wasn't anything written there. Now, all of this was given to us by John and sealed away, and by looking beyond the curtain of time, William Branham was able by vision to see it all, and each night he came down and gave the church a play-by-play of what took place with each seal. And as Billy Paul told me, Brother Billy Paul, what he told me is that when the angel revealed to Brother Branham through the vision what the sixth seal was, he said, I was standing at the door waiting for him to come outside. He said, when it came, I said, Daddy, what did the angel reveal to you of the sixth seal? And Brother Branham said, I can't tell you, son. I can't tell anybody, because if I did, you'd never sleep again the rest of your life. So what we see unfolding in this nation, and this is just the beginning of sorrows. You know, this thing on Ebola, they are not telling us the truth of this. Those people came in contact with thousands of people. Thousands of people. There are thousands of people that are potentially sick right now. And because there's a 21-day, incubation period, we don't know when it could be next week, could be the week after. We don't know when these things are going to start popping. And people everywhere across the country. I mean, these people came in. Our government let them come in. They did not put a restraint on them. They said, come on, come on. Anybody can come from these Western countries. They came, they sat in, and they were sick. They sat on an airplane where the air is all recycled, recirculated. The people breathed in what he was breathing out. Don't tell me that he came and nobody else has been infected. Just the time he was in that hospital, he came into contact with over 80 people in the hospital. And those nurses came in contact with hundreds of people. So we are being lied to. Brother Branham prophesied it according to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 14. And it said that there is coming, God would send a disease that the people would rot right in their flesh. Now, where men have messed up is that that they just will not say what the prophet said and take it back to the scriptures. So they continue that Nicolaitan control of the people by telling them that there is no more mercy because the Lamb has left the mercy seat when the Lamb has not yet left the mercy seat. But the reason for their error is that they see the opening of the seals as 1963 event when it most definitely was not. Now, I was in Hungary with Sarah back in 2005, 2004, 2003. Somewhere there. And the question came up in the meeting. They said, we've been taught that there's no more mercy since 1963. And I said, well, how many people in here came in the message after 63? And every single one of them raised their hand. I said, then how in the world, if there's no more mercy, could you come to the message and believe the message and be baptized with the Holy Ghost and these things? I say it's just false doctrine. They just don't know what they're doing. Is people look at these things and they try to chronologize what took place in the seals. Let me tell you something. Jesus, the Lamb, did not come to earth in 1963 and open the seals. We're going to see when he opened those seals. Now, it is true that William Branham was allowed by God for our sake in 1963 to look beyond the curtain of time, and in so doing could look through that opening of the seals and give us what he saw, but what he saw did not happen in 1963. All these men, it's like, look, remember years ago Brother Vail gave us the illustration that over in England there were some people that watched this television show, and so they called the station and they said, hey, You know, you played a show on Saturday night from this time to this time. This is the name of the show. It was Out of America. It was a really good show. We enjoyed watching it. Do you have any plans of showing any more? And they said, well, we never broadcast that. They said, you never broadcast it. We sat there and watched the whole show. They went and researched it, and that show had not been broadcast since 20 years earlier. But those waves, the frequency and the waves went around and around and around the world, and the atmosphere was just right for their set to pick up that channel and to watch what was previously 20 years prior sent into the airwaves. William Branham, prophet of God, through vision and help from the angel of the Lord, probably answering the questions concerning these things, was able to tell us what took place from the early church all the way to the end, which had been sealed up in those seals. Those events did not take place in 1963. No more did Jesus open the seals in 1963 than those events took place in 1963. Because if you go to the book of Revelation, you read about the lamb. He's actually, it says, and I looked and turned and there was a lion. What's a lion? He's a king, right? When is the lamb become the king? Second coming. I looked and saw the lion, and actually it was a lamb. The lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. That ought to give you a hint as to when the opening takes place. It's actually a future event. But we got a chance to see it. Now, I'm going to get into quotes that are specific on that. All these men have succeeded to do in teaching the nonsense that Christ is off the mercy seat is to bind the people by fear to them and hold them under their spell by getting them to take their focus off of Christ and place their focus on a hierarchy of some supposedly fivefold ministry who now becomes their mediator. All of this is a continuation of that same Nicolaitan doctrine in the brindle horse power. Now, the word brindle means a dark, spotty, streaked, grayish in color. Notice he went from a white horse, a doctrine only, to a red horse, incarnate in a man, killing people if they didn't submit, went to a black horse, which was death, and then he went to a brindle horse, which was death. Brindle is a dark, spotty, streaked, grayish in color. Pretty ugly horse. In other words, there is such an admixture, it appears tawny, dark, grayish, and dirty in color, etc. And that is what the church has become. They no longer wash the robes in the washing of water by the word, but everything to them must come through the filter of their own camp doctrines. And remember the promises that they who have washed their robes by the washing of water by the word will be without spot or without wrinkle. Therefore they will not be brindled in color in their robe, but will have on pure white robes without spot or wrinkle. But that brindled horse represents that same Nicolaitan spirit all the way down since it first became incarnate in the Pope all the way down until the end time to where there is such an admixture that we see it not only in the Catholic Church, but all of her harlot daughters as well. So when you have a ministry that's Nicolaitan, it's a harlot daughter. I don't care if they're in this message. They're a harlot daughter. And remember, all that live on the earth at this time will either receive the seal of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or they will take the mark of the beast. Now, to understand what is taking place and what William Branham saw, let us never forget that the Lamb of God is the Son of God. He is not God the Son. There is no God the Son. That's a Catholic mythology. The Lamb is not God. God himself is on the throne with the book that is sealed. John sees God in Revelation chapter 5 handing the book to the Lamb, his firstborn son. The Lamb who is the Son of God then opens the book. He hands the open book to the Father, then steps up onto the throne while the Father steps off of his throne and comes down with the open book, or with the book open, Revelation 10, 1-7. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. And God hands the book, the open book, to the seventh angel messenger. So it's not the Lamb that hands the book open. The Lamb opened the book, and the Father brings it down. Now, Revelation 5:1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Okay, so who is sitting on the throne? It is God himself. And verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? So the question comes up, God has this sealed book in his hand, and the question arises, who then is worthy to open it? Now remember, we have, and I don't have the scriptures here, but we can go to our thought, to our understanding of it. Paul talks about the hidden gospel. It's hidden, but it's to be revealed at the end time for our glory. You see, it's not really hidden to God. He knows what's in that book, but he sealed it so men couldn't probe and pry and everything else. But it was hidden until the end time. Okay? Verse 3, and no man in heaven nor in earth, either under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now notice John beholds this lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, right there, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book. Who opened the book? The lion opened the book. It says right here, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. This lion was actually a lamb. It was the one who had died, was now a lion, and he opened the book. Now notice John beholds the lion, this king, but when he turns to see this lion, he sees who this king in reality is. It is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world, and the Lamb is the Son of God. Now we know in the constellation, the first sign is the Virgin, and the last sign is the Zodiac, in the Zodiac is the lion. This speaks of the first and second coming of Christ, and we'll get into that later on. Verse 7, and he, the lion, who in reality is the Lamb of God, the Son of God, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And so the Lamb takes the book out of the right hand of God. Actually, he says up here, and behold the lion. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed to open the book. And here, he says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So the Lamb takes the book, actually the lion, takes the book out of the right hand of God. And when he, the Lamb, who also was a lion, had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, when does this happen? People say 1963, when the seals were opened, that was a lamb opening the seals. But that is not true at all. Brother Branham in 1963 was looking through the great portal of time, but what he saw was when the lamb become the lion, that's the second coming of Christ. Now, in the breach, which is prior, right to the seals, the introductory to the seals, he said, notice here he comes, leaves the throne as an intercessor, as a slain lamb to become a lion, king. To bring the whole world into judgment that's rejected. Our kinsman redeemer then is king over all. Why? He's got the title deed of redemption. It all lays within his hand. I'm glad I know him. Then claims his inheritance. That's the church, the bride. He claims it. What does he do then? He disposes of his contestant, Satan. He throws him into the lake of fire with all those who was inspired by Satan to reject his word of redemption. He's king now. Mercy's still on the throne. Don't you reject his offer. See, the riders know just who you are. And now his contestant, who's given him trouble for 2,000 years, claiming, I can do with them what I want to do. I still have them. They're mine. They forfeited the title back there. But he's the kinsman redeemer. He said he's back here making intercession now. But someday, he says, I'll put them in the grave. But he told the church, I'll bring you out. See, but first, I've got to be an intercessor. Okay? Now, back to Revelation 5 and 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, 10,000. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature was in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now from the Sardisian church age, Brother Branham said, when they seen him sitting on the altar and had the book in his hand, and no man on earth or beneath the earth or anywhere was able or worthy to even look at the book, but a Lamb that as it had been slain from the foundations of the world, that's Revelation 13 and 8, way back at the beginning when he first started this redeemed body, come and took it out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne and set down himself. So God is sitting on the throne. He's got the book. The lion comes forward and opens the book. He takes the book out of his hand. He opens the book and people see, well, this is the Lamb of God. This is the same guy that died. This is Jesus, the Son of God. But as a lion, he's king. Now, he opens a book. He steps up on the Father's throne. The Father then comes down to earth with the open book now, and he hands it to the prophet. All right, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Now, we go into that. I don't have it in my notes, but Revelation 10, 1 to 7 tells us that the Lord, that another mighty angel come down from heaven holding, well, let me just get my, let me just read it for you. I can put it in the notes later. All right. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillar of fire. Now, Brother Brown said that's a rainbow, angel of the covenant, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that's God himself, the same one that was with Israel. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. Why? Because over in Amos 3:6, a lion shall roar, but who shall, a lion roareth, who shall but prophesy? The Lord himself shall not reveal anything. I mean, the Lord himself will not reveal anything unless it comes through his prophet. So the lion represents the voice, a prophetic voice, okay? And cried with a loud voice, that's a shout, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heavens and things that are in, and the earth, things that are therein, and the sea, and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, if you look in the margin, it says, time no longer delayed. In other words, the whole setting is now ready to go into eternity. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. So, again, Brother Branham said, but the Lamb that as it had been slain from the foundation of the world, way back at the beginning when he first started this redeemed body, come and took it out of the right hand of him that sits upon the throne and set down himself. Amen. Now notice the picture goes way back before the foundation of the world when God elected to predestinate you to adoption and chose his son to become the bleeding, dying lamb. Now Brother Bram said that the lamb who is seen here in Revelation 5 who opened the book is not seen again until it comes in Revelation 19 with the saints. From the first seal, Brother Bram said, now notice it is the lamb that opened the book and the lamb is Christ, and Christ is not seen anymore from then, but he is seen in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. So who come down in Revelation 10? If the lamb is not seen from Revelation chapter 5 until chapter 19, who is it in chapter 10? It's God himself. All right. If the lamb is not seen, then who came down? The answer is God himself came down with a shout, which we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with himself. See, who is him? It's himself. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, that's the presence, that's the appearing, that's what's happening right now, of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, that's God, shall descend from heaven with a shout, that's a message, with the voice of the archangel, that's the resurrection, and with the trump of God, and that's the catching away. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Now, therefore the Lamb does not leave the throne until the Father takes us up in the rapture to meet the Son in the air. It is not the Son of God. He is not the Lord he's talking about. He's talking about the one Lord, and that's God himself. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Paul says in Ephesians 4, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He is there making intercession for our confession until the last name that was in the Lamb's book of life comes in and is child trained. Then he leaves the throne to come and redeem them. Now, from the first seal, Brother Bram said, paragraph 135, notice that when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, that's right. Now, I would like to read a few more quotes in closing to nail this down so that we can see that Jesus Christ is still on the mercy seat until the last child has come in and is child trained. In other words, God is come down, God left the throne, but Jesus climbed up on the throne and is still in intercessory and doing mediatorial work for the last one to come in. Now, if that was not so, then we wouldn't see somebody like even Derek or his wife in. Or actually any of you, because, and me too, because all of us came in, you know, after 63. My wife might have attended the meetings before then, but she was just a little kid and had no clue outside of the reverence, and she could feel that presence of God. So, you know, if you're going to follow that kind of thinking, then who in the message today, except for the ones that are laying on their deathbeds, were here in 63? No, it just doesn't make any sense. From It Wasn't So From the Beginning, 1960, Brother Brown said, his flesh sets at the right hand of the throne of God in majesty, in glory. And he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Jesus, the Son of God, sitting in heaven, and all these mortal souls that just under the altar look up and they see that body sitting there, that corporal body. Oh, I feel religious, that corporal body. And from the first seal, paragraph 30, said, now in the Bible times, the mystery were there, and they seen these things happen the way that John saw it here. Now he said, there is a white horse rider, but what the mystery of it is, there's a mystery that goes with that rider. Now, what it was, they didn't know, but it's to be revealed. But it is to be revealed after the Lamb leaves the Father's throne of his intercessory as kinsman redeemer. So when is that? It's when he comes. It's when he comes, second coming. Now, from the third seal. And then he went back and got the kinsman redeemer and picked him up to see what his work was. And now, for all of these years, Christ has been doing the kinsman redeemer work. Now, all that understands that, say amen. He was doing the work of the kinsman redeemer, but there will come a time that when the redeeming work will be over, and when the redeeming work is over, then he leaves the throne of God where he is seated now. That's 1963, the third seal. He's saying he's still seated there, where he's seated now. But that's not his throne. He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome and have sat down in my Father's throne. That is not his throne. That belongs to the Spirit, God. Christ the Lamb, it doesn't belong to him. So while God is down here on earth in the parousia, the appearing, the Son of God is on God's throne. Because somebody's got to be there. He's not going to leave it up to an angel. Remember, Jesus he's been adopted. He's given 50% of what the Father has. Okay. From Souls in Prison Now, 1963, 11:10. He says, see, it wasn't revealed when that seventh trumpet sounded or the seventh seal was opened. Then there was silence in heaven. See, it wasn't give away what would take place. But under the sixth seal were these trumpets opened. Remember, under there, we find out that the Lamb came forth, appeared on the scene. When? Under the sixth seal. When is that? It's still in the future. The sixth seal judgments have begun. Brother Bram threw the rock up in the air. He said judgments have struck the West Coast. And we know it's a long process of time because we know that we've got under the sixth seal judgment, brother and sister, we've got all these, Ebola and all this other stuff. We've got the financial destruction of the world. We've got the universe just folding up. We've got Planet X or, you know, Wormwood, whatever you want to call it. Bible says Wormwood, so we'll stick with that. We've got Wormwood. We've got all of these plagues, all of this judgment coming. So it's still future. So he says, but under the sixth seal, where these trumpets opened, remember, under there, where the sixth seal, we find out that the Lamb came forth, appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption was finished. And he came forth and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and time was no more. And immediately an angel appeared in the 10th chapter and 7th verse saying, this angel came down and swore that time was no longer. But you see, in this book was what was redeemed. It was the book of redemption, and everything that he had redeemed was written in the book, and all that he died for was written in the book, and he could not leave his mediatorial seat until he had thoroughly redeemed, and he couldn't redeem it at the cross because they were predestined in the Lamb's book of life and had to stay on there to make intercession until that last person was finished. Pray for your children. Pray for your children. Because he's not leaving the throne until that last one's in. Pray that they're part of that number. And remember, he just got done telling us that it was somewhere during the sixth seal, which is what is going on right now. So one of these days soon, he which is righteous will be righteous still, and he that is filthy will remain filthy. Now from the breach, Brother Branham said, why? When the revelation come that the Lamb, the Redeemer, our kinsman, had come back from the throne of mediatorial and had walked out here to take his possession, oh, soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. Soon, that means it's not happening right now. It's happening in the future soon. All right? Now, as I said, there are those who believe that there is no more mercy. They believe when the seals were revealed that the Lamb left the mercy seat and is now on the judgment seat. They believe there is no more mercy, and yet we find Brother Branham right up until his last sermon letting us know that the doors of mercy were still open. On November 26, 1965, he said in his sermon, Works as Faith Expressed, he said, may those who are not saved above all things be ready. Get ready now while the doors of mercy are still opened. Notice that the doors of mercy are still open at that time. That's 1965, right before he passed on. Therefore, when the seals were opened, Jesus did not step off the mercy seat. He stepped up onto his Father's throne of mercy, and he's still making intercession for our confession. Hallelujah. And of course, January 19th, 1965, Brother Brand preached a message called God Who Is Rich in Mercy. Now, why would he preach such a message almost 3 years after the seals were opened if there was no more mercy? And in this message, he said, Dear Jesus, we are approaching now the great throne of mercy through this all-sufficient name, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, but only this name of the Lord Jesus, and we're coming in his name. Notice, again, 2 years after the seals were opened, he's saying that there's still mercy. We're approaching now the great throne of mercy. It's not a throne of judgment at that time. And from the breach, he said, he leaves the throne to be an intercessor as a slain lamb, to be a lion, a king, to bring the world to judgment who has rejected his message. He's not a mediator. Remember, the Old Testament teaching now, as we hurry, when the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat. And when the lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne... Remember, he was sitting on the throne now. Out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Then he becomes not a lamb, but a lion, a king. And he calls for his queen to come stand by his side. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the earth? Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 19, when he comes on his white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he comes at that time with his saints, so the rapture has done long happened, and the saints have crowned the incarnate Son of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I hope this has been helpful for you to see the order of events of the seals. So, just because the seals were open. In other words, Brother Branham was given this opportunity to look and to see it and the whole lining of it, and showing how that Nicolaitan spirit goes right from the end. I mean, starts from the beginning, goes all the way through to the church, becomes brindle. It's in everywhere. It's totally missed. Because man wants you to worship himself. They don't want to point you to Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that you'll never, ever, if you have some of these people, because some of us, you know, are still in touch with a lot of people, and there's a lot of people out there who are totally confused, take them to this sermon tonight. Take them to these quotes and show them that there is still mercy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that there is still mercy. We're thankful, Father, that you haven't shunned your children, but rather, Father, you're wooing and cooing your bride. So, Lord, help us, O God, to be full of mercy, because blessed is he that is merciful, for he shall receive mercy. Dear Father, help us, O God, to be a light and to help those, all those who would need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace.